This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Every Tuesday, I always take a moment to remind you to pray to the guardian angels. We do it every week, week in and week out. I want to remind you to pray often to your guardian angel and ask for help in your everyday life. Make yourself familiar with the angels. Even though you don't see them, they are present with you. I kid you not, I thought my guardian angel woke me up this morning a couple of moments before the alarm clock. I felt the presence of my angel this morning. Make yourself familiar with the angels because they really are there to help you. Now, the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues this day. It's day 27. Let's bring in our Relevant Radio news anchor, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what's going on? What's the latest this hour?
Well, John, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky would really love to talk with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Zelensky says he's willing to say that Ukraine won't join NATO and he'd like to have some peace talks to end the fighting. Russia continues to shell cities throughout the country. Ukraine has retaken a small town to the west of Ukraine, also possibly flooding on purpose a river to the west of Kyiv, we should say, the capital of Ukraine. That will make it very difficult for Russian soldiers to encircle the city from the west as well. The number of refugees up over 3.5 million. And again, as we mentioned yesterday, that number of people displaced from their homes in total, over 10 million. That's about a quarter of the country. Really, really hard, John, to imagine.
It is unbelievable. It is a humanitarian crisis of epic proportions, something we haven't seen since World War II. My heart breaks when I see the images, and especially the city of Mariupol, that looks like it's just been demolished.
Hard to imagine Russia moving on from this and being part of the modern civilized world community. I really think so. President Biden meeting with NATO leaders tomorrow in Europe, meeting with leaders of Britain, France, Italy, and Germany to decide how to move forward. Also, the president yesterday with a warning to be prepared that U.S. companies ought to do what they can to be prepared for a potential Russian cyber attack as well.
Absolutely. There's a big story weather-wise that hit last night in Texas and Oklahoma. What's the latest with the tornadoes that caused a bunch of damage?
Yes, John. Heavy storms moved through the south last night, starting in Texas. Many tornadoes. Part of that system, at least one dead and seven injured, powered out in parts of the Austin area this morning as well. And the kind of search continues to survey the damage as light breaks.
And other parts of Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas are preparing for yet possibly more tornadoes this morning, Glenn.
Yeah, we are into springtime and spring storm season, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, and keep us posted if anything breaks with Ukraine.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every hour in prayer, and we especially continue to pray for peace, as we've been doing for weeks in Ukraine with Russia. We ask our Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If for whatever reason you haven't had a chance to sign up for Father Rocky's new super-duper Lenten Lessons on the Mass, it's still not too late. You can still do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. In today's lesson, Father Rocky explains the purpose of the homily in the Catholic Mass. Get ready to learn much more about the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. You can do it this morning by signing up at relevantradio.com/Lent. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 18:35. Jesus the Lord says, "My heavenly Father will treat you in exactly the same way unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." Forgiveness is at the heart of the Christian message. As Catholic Christians, we know that we must forgive or otherwise we will not be forgiven. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray for this in the Our Father when we pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Do we really take those words of the Our Father to heart? So the question is, when we forgive, have we forgiven by God's standards? Have we forgiven from the heart? Pray to our Lord for the grace to really forgive from the heart anyone who has hurt you or has offended you. And we always pray with great confidence, "Jesus, I trust in you." Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it is never for long, 'cause I know our love still lives on. It'll be again exactly like it was, 'cause I believe in the power of love.
This coming Friday on March 25th, we celebrate the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord. What does the love of God have to do with the Annunciation? Today in our weekly Remember You Are Loved segment, Martha Fernandez Sardina will share with us what it means that love became incarnate for you and for me. Martha's an international bilingual speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, consultant, outreach developer, and the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, the host of Remember You Are Loved TV series. Good morning, Martha. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you this morning.
Good morning. Great to be with you, too.
I want to invite our listeners, if you want to be part of the conversation, again, 888-914-9149. Martha, first of all, can you explain to us exactly what we celebrate on the solemnity of the Annunciation of the Lord?
First and foremost, we celebrate the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, as a beautiful song says, that love that chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99 for me, for you, John, for each one of you who are listening to us, for every sheep and soul. It's a love that, as a song says, I couldn't earn it, I couldn't deserve it. Still, he gives himself away. He gives himself away to me, to you, to every single one of us. And so it's the greatest and most amazing announcement ever heard, that a baby was to be conceived. And that's an occasion of great joy for any woman, but this was not any woman. And most certainly, this was not just any baby. This was the Son of God Almighty. So this was God wanting to become one with us and one like us in all things but sin. So we celebrate on the feast of the Annunciation of our Lord, the incarnation of our Lord, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life, as we hear proclaimed in John 3:16, and we often see or used to see at ball games, I think. So we recall on this great solemnity, and we celebrate and we rejoice in the immense and undying, eternal, everlasting love of God who became incarnate, who took on our flesh, who was conceived in the virginal womb of Mary, when God announced through the angel Gabriel that he wished to become one with us. And then it was all there, pending on that yes from the Blessed Virgin Mary, the chosen vessel, the graced virginal womb in which God wanted to incarnate himself. And so at that moment, the highly favored daughter of God became the mother of God incarnate, the pure temple of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit conceived God within her. So on this great solemnity of the Annunciation, as you can tell, it's one of my favorites. I get so excited. We witness and we celebrate and we give thanks for the incarnation of our Lord and the fact that not simply was it a promise like in the Old Testament that God was coming, but now we see the fulfillment at that very moment when Mary gives her yes, when she says, "Ecce ancilla Domini fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word." And she models for us, John, and she reminds us of our fiat, of our yes, of our continued daily yes to the will of God, as we ourselves pray daily, as Jesus taught us in the Our Father, "Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra." May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And by the way, you want to hear a little secret? I've never shared this with anybody, so now the whole listening audience is going to know. When I pray the Our Father in my heart, when we say on earth as it is in heaven, I say on Marth as it is in heaven in my heart. On Marth, may the will of God be done in Martha as it is in heaven. So I want God's will to be done through and through in my life. I want to be a continuous yes. I want to have an Annunciation happen all the time in me.
Thanks for sharing that. And as you give us all these compelling reasons why we celebrate the solemnity, it sure seems to me like it has everything to do with love, if anybody's even wondering.
Absolutely, absolutely, because God so loves us and was so desirous of saving us that through the Annunciation, through the incarnation of our Lord, through his redemption, his passion and death and the resurrection, which we will soon be celebrating with Easter, with Mary's fiat and with our fiat, we see that the Lord comes to rescue us, that he wants to enter into a special relationship with us. We see God's love incarnate, tangible, touchable, as St. John the Apostle, the Beloved, would say, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we've heard with our own ears, what we have touched. And so the Lord shows his love to us in a palpable way. And it's also an opportunity for mankind to respond to the love of God in a tangible, palpable way. And we most certainly see it in Mary, who gives herself in this most beautiful way, because the birth of a child, the conception of a child, is a great announcement for any woman, for most women, although we live in a culture of death, so for so many it's not. But in general, the natural instinct of a woman is to be happy. But then now to be told by the angel that this is not just any child, this is the Son of God Almighty, we see that it's all about love. We see that he did it out of love, because God didn't become man to save us in an ordinary way. I mean, he could have done it in any way. He could have just saved us from on high, and yet he chose to do it in this most humbling way for him. As St. Paul says, he took on human nature. He was known. He took on the form of a slave, known to be like us. And so he humbled himself, and God highly exalted him. And before him, every knee shall bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So he made himself like the very creatures he came to save. He subjected himself to the very creatures that he came to save. He allowed himself to be placed in our place, to die our death for us, the very sinners who created the very sin problem and the need for salvation that Jesus incarnated himself to resolve. So we surely see that there is no greater love that man has than to lay down his life for his friends, as Jesus tells us in John 15:13. And we see that already, that truth budding in the Annunciation, that his love was so great that he laid down, he set aside, as St. Paul says, his divinity to take on our humanity, which of course he was both divine and human the whole time, but he became one with us, whom he calls friends, as we see also in John 15:15. I call you friends, by laying down his life for us to accept our place, to die our death, as I said, so that we might live his life. So that is, in fact, John, all about love. It's that saving, life-changing love that we celebrate from the very moment of the Savior's entrance into the world in his human nature, taking on our human flesh. And it's very important that we emphasize this, because a lot of times we only celebrate the birth of Jesus at Christmas. But no, the incarnation of Christ begins 9 months before, which is why we celebrate it on March 25th, and then 9 months later, December 25th, the birth of Christ. So we ought to sing now prayerfully, "When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me."
We're joined this morning by Martha Fernandez Sardina, a Catholic evangelist and the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, and we're talking about love becoming incarnate, the Feast of the Annunciation that we're going to celebrate this coming Friday. Martha, I love that you are saturated with sacred scripture, throwing many of these scriptures at us. Can you briefly just talk about why it's such a beautiful thing, especially here in Lent, to meditate on all these beautiful verses that help us to keep on track, to remind us of what this celebration that we're going to have with this Friday with the Annunciation of the Lord is really all about?
Well, it's interesting that all Christians love the Word of God, the sacred scriptures, and we ought to love sacred scripture. For me, I came to a conversion to Christ by reading sacred scripture, by reading the entire New Testament in search of, specifically in search for Christ. I wanted to know if he is who he said he is and who my religion teacher was telling me he is. And of course, I discovered that and gave my life to Christ at the age of 15. So for me, the Word of God is very important. But we're celebrating precisely with this coming feast and throughout this Lenten season and the Easter, the glorious Easter season, we will be celebrating precisely the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. The very Word who becomes flesh on every altar, on every Catholic altar, when there's a mass is celebrated, that Word becomes flesh then inside of me when I receive Holy Communion. So that's why scripture is so important, because it's the basis for us to get to know the Word of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, and then prepare our hearts and souls to receive the Word incarnate, Jesus Christ, into our very bodies. And we get to the bottom of the story of salvation through reading sacred scripture and making it, let it become flesh in us, to enflesh itself in us, to become come alive. And we see that especially right now during this Lenten season, when hundreds of thousands of catechumens and candidates around the world are preparing precisely to welcome love incarnate into their hearts and souls at the Easter Vigil. And they will receive one or more of the sacraments of Christian initiation, baptism, confirmation, Holy Eucharist. And in that way, we will witness, in a sense, John, an incarnation of sorts that takes place right before our lives, right before our very eyes in their lives, as many of them receive baptism, and then all of them receive confirmation and First Holy Communion. And it's a beautiful thing, because they too are preparing by immersing themselves in the Word of God, getting ready to receive, like Mary at the Annunciation, the Word of God into their hearts and lives in a very powerful way.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I've had the joy of being at an Easter Vigil and actually accompanying a few people who have come into the Catholic Church, and it's very moving, the excitement of receiving baptism and receiving the Holy Eucharist and confirmation for the very first time. What do you think that we can do to be better witnesses of this incarnation of sorts that takes place in the lives of these catechumens and these candidates who are preparing themselves for the Easter Vigil?
Well, we should find out who's entering the church this Easter in our own parishes. And a lot of times they announce it and we know who they are. But if you haven't heard the announcement, you might check your bulletin. I know that in our parish bulletin, there was a list of them. Pray for them. Pray for them by name. If you know them or you can get to know them, exhort them, encourage them to go this last journey. Read up on the scrutinies. You know, we just had this last Sunday, the first scrutiny. They will have the second and the third, in which they're asking them again and getting them ready to respond to this call to repentance and ongoing conversion. Make sure that you yourself are realizing, wait a minute, what's this call to repentance and ongoing conversion? Yes, that's the call for each one of us. It's a lifelong, ongoing act of repentance and ongoing conversion. Realize and also ponder what this means, that the catechumens have not only been baptized, but they're going to be born again. When they are baptized, they will be born again in Christ, as it were, conceived and born in them. Recall your own baptism. Recall what the Lord did in you, for you, and what he's expecting. Recall the reception of all three of the Christian initiation sacraments that you received, your confirmation and your first Holy Communion. And enter into the mystery of what is happening there. It's nothing short of miraculous, really, to think that we receive supernatural grace, divine life being infused into our souls when we're born again from water and the Spirit, as St. John says. We become a new creation. We're sanctified. They are going to be sanctified, set apart to know and love and serve the Lord in this life and to live happily forever with him in the next. And so each one of us, this is an opportunity as we journey toward Holy Week and the Easter Vigil to look at that and say, am I separated? Am I set aside? Am I sanctified for the Lord? Am I being full of love? Am I allowing the Lord to be born again within me? Am I living like someone who is a new creation? Have I received the annunciation of the Lord's love for me with the same docility with which Mary did? Or has it become old and stale and unimpressive? Is the gospel, is Jesus unimpressive and not moving to me? And we're still, have I allowed Christ, who has been conceived in me through the sacraments, to become, and I hate to use this term, but I'll say it, to become stillborn, to die within me, to be aborted in my soul, because that's not a good place to be. So if you find yourself in a situation like that, turn to the Lord. In fact, many of you who, or some of you who might be listening to us, might even be what we call CNEs, Christmas and Easter Catholics, who only come for these great celebrations. This is a great time for you to come back to the Lord. You might be one of those hatch, match, and dispatch Catholics who only come for baptisms, weddings, and funerals. This is a great time to come back to the Lord.
Hysterical. That is a very funny saying, but nevertheless, it really is the time to come back to the Lord. I know Father Rocky has greatly influenced me in reminding us over the years that if you do nothing else during Lent, find a way to get to confession if you want to have a joyful Easter. Go to confession, and I think that that cannot be stressed enough.
Absolutely. Most parishes have penance services now, and they have increased hours for confession. So look them up anywhere in your diocese. You don't even have to go to your own pastor if you don't want to. Walk into a church and spend a little time having a heart-to-heart conversation with Jesus in the Eucharist. Come back home where you belong. Come back into the fold. Come more deeply into the fold. And as I told someone who's actually preparing to receive the sacraments of initiation this Easter, I said, I feel like a first grader, even though I have a master's in theology and Christian ministry, because every day is a day for me to learn more about Christ. Every day is a day for me to convert more to Christ.
Martha, just a final thought. We have about a minute left a couple of other suggestions of what else we can do in the next few days for the celebration of the Solemnity of the Annunciation coming up this Friday, March 25th.
Yes, make this your Annunciation, a unique time for you to say yes, your fiat to God. Make time during this weekend and during every day of this Lent to make room for God like a mother makes room in her womb, like Mary did, and make sure that you unite yourself to the Holy Father and the bishops who with him will consecrate Russia and Ukraine to Our Lady. Consecrate your own home, your own heart, your own life, so that you might be in the graces of God and have a very happy Annunciation.
Thanks so much. Real quick, where can our listeners find you?
You can find me at rememberyouareloved.com and at marthafernandezsardina.com. Go from there to my social media. You can send me an email, invite me to your parish or diocese. And remember, you are loved.
And so are you. Thanks so much, Martha. Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, you'll hear my conversation with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, Dr. Italy, 40 ideas for how to get the most out of Lent. It's still not too late. Stay with us. There's much more to come after this short timeout.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us. We're now here in the third week of Lent. How's it going so far? Remember that it's not where you start, but where you finish. Are you on track with your Lenten resolutions, or does it feel like the same old, same old? Are you looking for some practical ways to get more out of this Lent, to grow closer to the Lord? Well, we've got it for you this morning. We have a virtual cornucopia of Lenten ideas. 40 days, 40 ways. It's still not too late to start again. Good Friday is 3 weeks from this coming Friday. I recently spoke with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, who has 40 Lenten ideas to get more out of the season. Known on radio and TV as Dr. Italy, Dr. Marcelino is a theologian, international speaker, and author of several best-selling books, including Jesus, The Way, the Truth, and the Life, the book, and the study program. He's also a professor at Catholic Distance University and directs the Crossroads Initiative. Listen to my conversation with Dr. Italy. Good morning, Dr. Marcelino. What a joy it is to be connected with you once again. Thanks for being with us.
John, it's great being with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. I was very impressed with the story on your crossroadsinitiative.com website. You have 40 Lenten ideas to get more out of the season. 40 days, 40 ways. What was your main aim, your motivation in coming up with all of these myriad of ideas?
The main motivation is to make Lent less just the season of come hanging our head, and introspection, looking at ourselves, and make it a season of training, because that's really what it was in the early church. It was a season of you know, it's funny, John, I don't know about you, but I belong to a gym. They have these 60-day challenges. You know, you go in and you sign up and you set goals and you get a trainer and you get a plan, and you're going to be a different person by the end of that period of time. And they even had before and after pictures of the people who did it last year and who won the prize, you know. And this is really the point of Lent, is to win the prize. It's really a season where we become the champions that we're called to be, that we do during this season what we really ought to be doing all the time, and that is training. And using prayer, fasting, almsgiving, and spiritual exercises to become more for God, to really put Him first in our lives, to love Him with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole strength. And the problem with Lent a lot of times is that we repent, which is really important. I really recommend everybody get to confession during this time. And we sacrifice. We make some sort of sacrifices. You know, what do you give up for Lent? But if you really take a look at the first Sunday of Lent and the story of Jesus' temptation, Jesus really gives us the reason for fasting. People say, what am I going to give up this year? Okay, Jesus didn't eat for 40 days, and when Satan wanted him to turn stones into bread, what did he say? He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And like, the whole point of giving something up is to make room for real food, which is the word of God. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we really need to be doing here to grow strong in the Lord. And so I put together 40 ideas. Not that everyone should do all of them by any means, but it's things that people can easily incorporate into their life. And if you do one, two, or three of them, in addition to the thing you've always done, like giving up chocolate, you can find real progress and you can really get somewhere. And that's kind of the point is in Lent, is not just to wander around in the desert for 40 years like the Israelites, but in 40 days to really make a beeline to the promised land.
Well, this is really like a smorgasbord of ideas. They're all so good. But like you said, you know, you don't want to try to do them all. You want to just pick out a few, maybe just three ideas. Can you talk about the beginning of your 40 ideas in which you recommend praying to the Holy Spirit for guidance so you can figure out what you want to do here early on in Lent?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to really do well in the gym, you need a personal trainer who sets the plan and kind of customizes things based on your goals and your body type and your state of fitness and all that stuff. Well, we have a supernatural trainer, a personal trainer, each one of us, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of times we don't really trust and believe that he really will guide us, that he really has a plan, that he'll show us the next best step for our lives. So that's the first thing to do in Lent, is not just to think about what am I going to do for Lent, but ask the Lord, Holy Spirit, you know where the Lord wants me to go. Jesus is directing me. He's calling me closer. Through him to the Father, he has a plan for me. Holy Spirit, guide me into that plan. Show me the next best step. And I think that is a simple prayer that we can all pray. And then there's the 40 ideas are at the beginning of the book, and you just kind of can go over them. And then a lot of times you feel drawn to one thing or another. You feel strong. Wow, that's really interesting. It's almost like the Holy Spirit uses a highlighter to make something leap off the page to you. And that's a sign that's something you ought to pursue. I recommend that people look over the list and really listen that way after praying and see what they're drawn to. And then begin doing those one or two or maybe three things at the most faithfully throughout Lent. The book actually takes you day by day throughout Lent and opens up different Lenten themes. It's just very short, easy to read, inspiring. So as you're doing these one or two or three things that you've picked out from the list every day, you're reading something new every day to refresh you and make things come alive. And I think that's the point. We can get bogged down and Lent can become just a sog through the trackless wasteland, you know, and it really is supposed to be a time of discovery. We're discovering the Lord anew as we pay more attention to him and put our focus on him. He reveals new things to us and he makes things new. That's what he does. He makes all things new.
Absolutely. And we're joined this morning by noted theologian, Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio. And we're talking about 40 different Lenten ideas so you can get more out of this season of Lent. I love your analogy, Dr. Marcelino, of the personal trainer tapping into the Holy Spirit, because I believe that Lent is a lot like spring training in baseball, where you go back to the basics, you go back to fundamentals, just like a personal trainer. You go back to working on the basics. And for us as Catholics, I think one of the most important basics is the Holy Eucharist, the Mass. Can you give us a few ideas for some Eucharistic ways to grow here in Lent?
Yeah, there's been a revival in Eucharistic adoration. And I want to just make the point that Eucharistic adoration is not limited to the times when the Blessed Sacrament is exposed in the monstrance. That's exposition, that's a solemn form of adoration, that's great. But anytime you sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, repose in the tabernacle, and you're worshiping him and you're listening to him, that's adoration too. And I think it's wonderful to go sign up for an hour of adoration. But, you know, it's also phenomenal to get to Mass 5 minutes early and have some prayer time, or linger a few minutes after Mass and adore the Lord, who is, if you've received communion, he's made you a tabernacle, and you sit in front of the tabernacle as well, you know. And there's this wonderful, wonderful time of just rest and repose. So my point is we need to get a little bit more flexible with our idea of what adoration is, and then just try to find ways to do a bit more of it during this season of Lent. I think that's kind of the key. And there's some teaching on adoration in this book, and also on my website, you know, the website, dritaly.com, the ministry is Crossroads Initiative, and you can get there by typing in crossroadsinitiative.com, or for short, dritaly.com brings you there. But there's a whole Lenten library there of free resources besides this wonderful book that everyone can buy, and they can get it on Amazon. They can get it as a Kindle, so they have it, you know, as soon as you order it, you get it as an audio book. Audible, Amazon Audible, you can get that, you know, the day that you order it. So you can get the book, but you can also make use of the free resources on the site to enrich your Lent. So I encourage everyone to come and sign up for the weekly email all throughout Lent, the special tidbits that I'll be sending out to people every week to help them grow and enter into the season.
And a lot of people are trying to go to daily mass, which is another one of your 40 Lenten ideas, just getting to daily mass. At mass yesterday, I couldn't believe how packed the place was. It almost looked like a Sunday mass here across the street from our studios at St. Paul the Cross here in suburban Chicago. People are really taking it to heart to try to get to daily mass.
Yes, and you know, I know that for some people, getting to mass every single day is probably not going to work because of a work schedule or whatever. You know, it really, really depends on your lifestyle, what your call is at this point in time. But one of the things that I recommend strongly is if you can't get to mass every day, get to mass on Friday if you can, which is a special day remembering the Lord's death. It's a day of penance, and it doesn't mean just hitting yourself. It means really rehab, spiritual rehab, and doing reparation. And that, there's nothing more powerful for you and for the world than getting to mass. So even if you get to mass one or two days more a week other than Sunday, that's still a phenomenal step in the right direction.
There's so much more to talk about. We're just scratching the surface here. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio on ways to grow closer to the Lord here during Lent, give us a call, 888-914-9149. If you want to share your own personal experience, how you're making a commitment to grow here in Lent, 888-914-9149. So we're going to take a short break as we continue our conversation on 40 Days, 40 Ways, New Look at Lent with Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, the director of the Crossroads Initiative. Stay with us. There's much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks for being with us this morning as we continue to talk about 40 Lenten ideas to get more out of this season of Lent with our good friend Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, noted theologian, Catholic author and speaker and university professor. Dr. Marcelino, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
You have so many ideas that we can't possibly cover them all in our limited time, but I wanted to talk about some of the different categories of ideas, beginning with repentance, which is obviously very much in play here during Lent. Can you share with us a couple of ideas for Lenten repentance?
Sure. It's critical that we live a life that isn't just limited to repenting when we go to confession, but that we're always becoming aware of sin and shortcomings, and asking the Lord's forgiveness right away. So there's a beautiful custom in the Catholic Church of making an examination of conscience, not just before confession, but every night before we go to bed. And that's a beautiful tradition. And so that's one of the things that you can get going in your life. And the key is, you know, we really want to establish new habits. That's what going to the gym and working with a personal trainer is about. It's not just going and working out like crazy and then being sore the next day. It's gradually like being faithful to a practice. So that's kind of like the idea of 40 days, 40 ways. So here's one practice, you know, every night before you go to bed, besides just saying, thank you, God, and bless me and protect me through the night. It's, you know, what have I done today? Let's look at my day for a second. What have I done that may have hurt others and let you down, Lord? And just get that done, taken care of. Ask the Lord's forgiveness for that. So anyway, a good act of contrition at the end of the day, it's a beautiful thing, or a confidior. So that's one idea for repentance. And of course, the getting to confession is incredibly powerful. So I really recommend everybody to make it a point to get the confession and bring others with you. It's amazing. There's a lot of people who would go to confession, but they're awkward because they haven't been in a long time. They don't know how to do it. And a lot of times if they went with somebody, they'd go. You don't know unless you invite somebody. You don't nag anybody, by the way. You invite. And that's a powerful way to double the power of your own confession by inviting someone who decides to come along and come back to confession. So that's awesome.
Well, you talk about a powerful. I've heard it said that if you do nothing else during Lent, if you can make it to confession and make a good, heartfelt confession, then that will mean it was a good Lent. That's how important confession is. In fact, our Blessed Mother, in some private apparitions in recent years, has actually said that confession will save Western civilization from itself. It is such a powerful sacrament, such a great gift that our Lord has given us.
Yeah, I just want to throw in that it is a sacrament, which means it's an encounter with God. It's not just confessing to the priest. The priest stands in the person of Christ. And so you're meeting Jesus, and the reason for this wonderful sacrament is because the Lord wants to heal us. We wound ourselves, and we wound others through sin. We weaken ourselves, and we need to be strengthened. We need the power of his love to be poured out into our hearts so that we can be healed and strengthened, so that we don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. So, like, that's the power and beauty of confession. Why go to confession when you can confess just to God quietly? Because you really need healing, and the divine physician shows up in person. He guarantees that. So I think that's really important, that there's a lot of power in this beautiful sacrament.
And you talk about basic fundamentals. Prayer is as basic as it comes. You have some great ideas for prayer during Lent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there is so much. First of all, prayer is not just about talking to God. It's listening to God. And as we mentioned earlier, Jesus said to the devil, it's not by bread alone that man lives, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So listening to him is feeding ourselves with his word. We give up other stuff for Lent so that we make more room for his truth, his word. A lot of Catholics don't really use scripture in their prayer every day. And that is something the church really wants us to do. The Lord really wants to do that. So the Our Father is actually inspired scripture. Reciting the Our Father every day prayerfully is an amazing thing, and is actually a whole meditation on what the Our Father means. The sign of the cross, we make it mechanically. It's not just logging on and logging off to God's computer, you know. It really means something. And it's connected to our baptism. It's a renewal of our baptism. It's saying, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. You know, his name is on my forehead. You know, that's the original sign of the cross, is that sign we receive on our forehead when we're baptized. When we make it large, it's like a breastplate that protects us. So I have a whole meditation on what the sign of the cross means. And every day, making the sign of the cross once really intentionally, thinking about what it means, that's a powerful way to grow in prayer, to put on the full armor of God.
We make the sign of the cross when we're in front of the crucifix during the Stations of the Cross on Fridays, which I know is another one of your Lenten ideas for prayer.
Absolutely. Friday is a day of penance. We remember the Lord's Passion. So that's the greatest day to go out and do the Stations of the Cross, or to pray the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary, which I know many people already do. One of the beautiful things about the Rosary is that it's a meditative prayer. It's meant to engage our minds as well as our mouths. And there's a beautiful little aid called the Scriptural Rosary, which is available through my website, drlee.com. And that puts a little scripture text between each Hail Mary. So it makes meditating on the Passion, for example, when you're doing the Sorrowful Mysteries, so much more alive, because there are little scripture texts between the Hail Mary. It's just one verse that helps keep your mind on the mystery. Same thing with the Glorious, the Luminous, and a Joyful. So it's a beautiful exercise. If you haven't gotten a scriptural rosary, you can get one on my website. You may be able to find it in your local Catholic bookstore as well. But in any event, it's a powerful way to deepen your prayer of the rosary during Lent.
And we're also sending our prayers through the Blessed Mother, who always points us to her Son. And the way you do it with the scriptural rosary, it makes it that much more powerful, because then it really is the prayer of the gospel as we meditate on each mystery.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, one of the other things, John, is pilgrimage is an important penitential practice. And consider during Lent making a pilgrimage. Can it be a pilgrimage even to a local monastery, or to your cathedral church, or a place with a Eucharistic adoration on the other side of town? And it means we're getting up off our butts. We're seeking God. We're pursuing God. I also lead pilgrimages to the Holy Land. And the next one is going to be right after Lent, right during the Easter season. And we still have a little bit of room. So if anyone would like to come to the Holy Land in April and May, you can come to my website. You make that resolution during Lent. Is a vow to seek the Lord, and you can carry it out in Easter time in resurrection glory.
Sounds fantastic. You know, there's so many ideas. I knew we weren't going to be able to get through them all, but, you know, you have ideas for intercessory prayer, for fasting, for learning, maybe some spiritual reading. Just real quickly here in the last 90 seconds, a few other of your favorites.
Sure. I just want to say there's people around that are lonely everywhere. There are people who are lonely and really suffering. The problem is a lot of times we think of people far away as being the object of our prayer intercession. But we really can do a whole lot by just making a phone call to a lonely relative, to an elderly relative, to a bereaved person that we know, someone who's lost somebody. Those are great works of charity. And Lent, it's important just to point out prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And almsgiving is not just giving money. It's really loving people. It's just really works of mercy. And mercy is all about love's response to suffering, seeing suffering and reaching out to alleviate some of it. And loneliness is great suffering, and all of us know lonely people. So that's a beautiful practice to get in the habit of during Lent, is reaching out to the lonely.
40 Lenten Ideas to Get More Out of the Season of Lent by Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio. For much more, you can go to DrItaly.com. We just scratched the surface, but I know that many of these ideas are touching our listeners' hearts. So much appreciated. Thanks so much for being with us, Dr. Marcelino.
Hey, it's been a pleasure, John. Have a wonderful Lent. You and everybody listening.
Many blessings to you. Dr. Marcelino D'Ambrosio, the director of the Crossroads Initiative. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Monarch Migration. It comes from In Other Words. Monarch butterflies are a celebrated species that automatically capture attention with their brilliant beauty. Each fall, these butterflies migrate from the U.S. and Canada to Mexico. Amazingly, they all congregate at the top of the same mountain each year with phenomenal punctuality around the 1st of November. They're so dense you can actually hear the noise of their wings flapping when they take off to fly, and the trees literally bend from their cumulative weight. Researchers have tried to understand the monarch's ability to navigate this enormous distance with such precision. In a recent study funded by the National Institutes of Health, scientists painted the antenna of a sample group. Some had their antennas dipped in black paint, others received a clear coat. This eliminated any sense of smell for both groups. It was discovered that those with clear paint were able to find their way. Those who had their antenna blocked from the light became disoriented and lost their way. Researchers noted these beautiful creatures are completely dependent on the sun to give them guidance. Like a well-calibrated GPS, they track with the sun's light to find their precise destination. It's a great picture of how we, too, are utterly dependent on the sun to direct our migration through life. Proverbs 16:9, the human heart plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps.
Thanks so much, Glenn. As always, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Do not be afraid. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is next.